You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Father, I just thank you for this family. I thank you for those that you have connected to my voice. Father, I thank you for the Path to Purpose group. I thank you for the podcast. I thank you for people that are listening all over the world. And I just know, Father, that it's a divine connection. I know that you are bringing people to exactly what they need when they need it. And I thank you for the gifts in the body of Christ that you have established to help us on our journey to fully experiencing everything that Jesus has accomplished for us. I thank you, Father, that we are in a massive, I don't know what to call it, Father, awakening. We are in a massive transfiguration of the body of Christ. We are in a transformation of our understanding of who you are and our understanding of ourselves. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit is leading the way. I thank you that the Holy Spirit will not stop until the fullness of Jesus's victory has been realized in our lives. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are so good at your job. You are great at leading us into the truth that sets us free. You are helping us receive revelation and understanding and peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost, because we are citizens of heaven. We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and we abide in Jesus 24/7, whether we are aware of it or not. But I thank you, Father, that you are awakening our awareness. I thank you that you are elevating our consciousness. You are causing us to rise up to your perception of reality. You are helping us see things from your perspective. You have given us your mind, the mind of Christ, so that we can perceive your thoughts, because you desire to be known fully, just as we are known fully. And I know that that's, in a sense, that's an impossibility, Father, because there's an aspect of you that is infinite and unknowable, that you are without, you are beyond searching. But at the same time, we have been found, and we have been found in you. And I just thank you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness that leads us to repentance. I thank you that this is a work that you do. And that even though it is finished, Father, we are progressively coming into the revelation knowledge of who we are, who you are, what we've been made for, what life is all about. And I just thank you that it is all good, that you are a good, good Abba, that you are faithful, that you are gentle, that you are goodness in every sense of that word, and even beyond our understanding of that word. And I just thank you that you are relentless in your pursuit of our freedom. And so I just thank you for what you are going to be sharing today, Father, through me. I thank you for just using me. I yield my body. I yield my mind. I yield my thoughts. I yield all that I am to you. And I pray, Father, that you would just clearly communicate your heart, and that it would be transformative for people that are tuning in today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, awesome, you guys. I kind of wanted to start this morning with just a reminder of where we started at the beginning of the year. You know, I do these words every month. I've been doing it. This is my second year of doing these words. And it's interesting because, you know, prophecy and the prophetic and prophets and all that stuff, I'll tell you, there is, if you've been on a deconstruction journey at all, and when I say deconstruction, I just mean healing from the illusion of separation from God and letting go of religious ideas about God, really letting go of legalism, letting go of the idea that there is a self that exists apart from Christ, this idea that we are somehow independent and that it's up to us to just make the Christian life work. If you've been in any kind of, I believe that you're here because you've been a part of that. You're deconstructing from religion. You're letting go of wrong concepts about God and the gospel and what it means to be alive in Christ. And I guess I'm sharing that because, my goodness, you know, coming on and doing a prophetic word in this day and age where there are so many quote unquote prophetic voices that are, I don't even know. There's people being exposed for the ways that they've abused the prophetic. I mean, I've been seeing things on social media that are so disturbing, right? We've got the fall of ministries going on right now. I mean, there's so much turmoil going on, I feel like, in the body of Christ, not even to mention in the world. We've got prophecies all over the internet right now talking about this eclipse next week and doomsday. And I mean, I was watching something on social media yesterday that had like 840,000 views, and it was literal just nonsense. And I'm scrolling through the comments, and I'm just, you know, I'm honestly, I don't know whether to be shocked, whether to be upset, whether to be offended. I don't even know how to process the amount of nonsense that we are inundated with day in and day out. And I don't just mean from the prophetic, although it's out there, you guys. There's just so much that we have to sift through to try to find the truth, I feel like, in the body of Christ right now. And not even to mention the stuff that's going on in the world. I mean, my gosh, with the stuff with, you know, Puff Daddy and all this stuff, right? There's just so much going on. And not only that, but, you know, we are in, you know, I want to say this, even though all of that's going on, the prophetic is still valid. And I feel like sometimes in the, you know, the journey of deconstruction, like we can throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, I feel like some people have deconstructed to the point that, you know what, we don't even believe in the devil anymore, right? Or we deconstruct so much that we just lose so many things that we need to maintain. And it's okay. I'm not really even criticizing it, because frankly, deconstruction is messy, right? Anytime you are replacing a foundation, you know, there's a lot of things that have to crumble. And there is a shaking that is going on, that is a move of the Holy Spirit. And God is shaking everything really that can be shaken that hinders love. And that is a personal shaking in our own lives. It's a corporate shaking in the body of Christ. And it's a shaking in the world. Why? Because Jesus has come in the flesh, and he was crucified, and he was buried, and he rose again, and he ascended, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And of the increase of his government, there will be no end. And how many of you know that we have a very, very patient Father? And God is patient. He is patient, and it is his will that none should perish. And so there is this, we're kind of in a little bit of a messy time in history. I don't know if there was never a non-messy time in history, but I feel it. I feel a personal shaking. I feel the shaking in the body of Christ. I feel the shaking in the world. I mean, my goodness, we survived this pandemic. I mean, some of us didn't survive. I have people in my own team that didn't survive, you know, but there's been a lot of crazy stuff. And I feel like at the same time, there's been such a convergence. There's been such an elevation of understanding, whether that's with quantum physics or whether that's with, you know, human psychology and neuroscience and neuroplasticity, and the introduction of different modes of treating trauma. I mean, there's just, we are in a incredible acceleration. And I'll just say this, it's a lot. It's a lot sometimes for us to try to process. It's a lot for us to try to get a handle on. And I think it's pretty interesting because, you know, this week we're leading up to, I'm doing a Trinitarian contemplation retreat with John Crowder Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this week, which is, I feel like, so timely, because the lost art of contemplation is such a retreat from all, you know, gosh, the world and all of the things that we don't understand and all of the things that we're confused by and the just the noise that happens, not only externally, but internally. Because I feel like the more that there's this external stimuli and this inundation of information from everywhere, the more that the human race is being triggered. I feel like we are living in such a time of triggers just coming up for people. I mean, my gosh, it's an election year, and it is just not going to be pretty. It's just not. That's not a prophecy. That's just an observation. You know what I'm saying? It's just an observation of human nature. And I tell you, we are in a time of really powerful healing, powerful transformation, powerful transfiguration. And there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot going on in people's hearts. There's a lot going on in our internal world. There's a lot going on in our circumstances. And there's a lot of triggers that are coming up for people. And if I'm not talking to you, well, hey, you know what? You can just turn off this podcast and you can go listen to the one that had 850,000 views about the eclipse next week. But I guess I want to start today with just, you know, reminding you of the things that I felt God has been speaking to me. Really, gosh, since I started these prophetic words, you know, it started back in the beginning of 2023 with a very powerful word that the best is not yet to come, it's now. And it was such a powerful word that a glory cloud showed up 28 minutes into the broadcast. Literally, this cloud showed up in my office. It was super powerful. It was such a confirmation to me that I should actually even be doing these words. And I'll tell you, we just hit the ground running with those words ever since then. And then coming into 2024, you know, I had this interesting word and I didn't bring my, I put my Neo in my purse and I would bring out my little Neo figurine right now, but I took it with me on vacation and it's still in my purse. So you just imagine that I'm holding Neo right now in my hand because I don't want to get up again and get off camera. But, you know, I came into this word in 2024 that it started this way. It said, don't quit, be unstoppable. And then it said, learn to dominate and manipulate the matrix. And if you haven't gone through the different words of the month since the beginning of the year, I encourage you to do that. You can go on my website. We always publish those on the blog. You can listen to them on the podcast. But there is a story that God's been progressively, I feel like, revealing. And when I say a story, what I mean is God is really just revealing through the word that I think I've been speaking about what he's up to. And you know what? This may not be a word that he's up to for everybody, but I do believe that if you are connected to me, there's a specific grace on my life. That grace is to transfigure the body of Christ and heal the illusion of separation. And so I feel like if you've been connected here to me and to my voice, then it is relevant for you. Now, that word, don't quit, be unstoppable, you know, learn to dominate, manipulate the matrix, has a lot in it. And I don't know that I necessarily unpacked all of it in January, but I feel like as the year progresses, it'll definitely become more clear, specifically as you walk it out with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to get to the word for April, but I feel like I need to do a little bit of a review here. So this first part of that word about don't quit, be unstoppable, all right, I think that part of that word is pretty significant, because what I want to say about that is, you know, and maybe I do need to talk about what triggers are. Maybe I need to explain what a trigger is, because maybe, I mean, there's a truth in the body of Christ that many people don't even recognize what a trigger is. In fact, I would say a large percentage of the body of Christ, because they don't recognize what triggers are attributing something as a work of the devil that is actually just a trauma response that's coming up inside of them that is being triggered by something that is going on externally. Okay, so what is a trigger? A trigger, first of all, is something that happens to us internally when there is an external stimuli. Okay, it can be a conversation, it can be a bill in the mail, it can be a doctor's report, it can be a conversation, it can be somebody cutting you off in traffic. Like, it's just something externally happens. And our brains are so incredibly amazing. I mean, this is like, our bodies are amazing, you guys. I mean, the technology of a human being is awe-inspiring. Like, it is, you know, when David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, he was not exaggerating. I mean, it is the crown of creation. We are made in God's image out of dirt, you guys. I don't know if you've ever made a mud pie or you've ever made a mud person, but this is an incredible feat, okay, to make human beings out of the dust of the ground. And our brains are so incredible. I mean, we have a conscious mind, we have a subconscious mind, we have an unconscious mind, and our brains are constantly making meaning and doing so much activity, right? I mean, they're controlling our heartbeat, they're controlling our breath. I mean, just the bodily functions that our brain controls at an unconscious level is incredible, right? But then when you go to the subconscious level, subconsciously, you have a record of every experience that you've ever experienced. And over the course of your lifetime, you have made meanings about those experiences. You have formed an image of everything, an image of money, an image of yourself, an image of God, an image of marriage, an image of parenting. Like, we have programming that is in our subconscious mind. And every time we get a stimuli, guess what? All of that subconscious belief system is accessed. And we make meaning of things. And it governs our perception. Each of us has a perceptional lens that we view the world through. And we have a level of consciousness that is a result of our belief systems that have been formed over the course of our life. And when I talk about us being triggered, what I mean by that is we have an external stimuli that comes in and we have a reaction to that. We have a thought process about that. We have a meaning that we make about that. And human suffering really comes from not what we experience, but the meanings that we attribute to what we experience. And so, why am I saying all of that about a trigger, right? Because one of the things that I even see like in our work in Emerge and in the work that we do in Elevate and in the work that we do in our Rapid Mind Renewal sessions, which are these one-on-one facilitated encounters with God that renew your mind supernaturally, that actually de-install triggers, right? And it's not uncommon for someone to come in with a situation that's causing them a lot of distress. They may be having physical symptoms, emotional symptoms. They may be not being able to hear the voice of God, like whatever that is. And we basically lead people through the process with the Holy Spirit of healing those things. But one of the things that we found is that it takes usually about five of those different kinds of sessions for people to even develop an awareness of when they are triggered. Now, because we live in a time in history where there's more information than ever about trauma, there's more information. And when I say trauma, I just mean unresolved pain. Okay. I'm not trying to say that you're broken beyond repair. You may not have, you know, PTSD to the extent that some people do, but I'm just telling you, we all get triggered. Like the idea that we don't get triggered is a deception. It's a massive deception. And so I talk about, you know, this work that I do with people. Part of it is just waking people up enough to their own inner world to know when they are triggered. Because when you are triggered, here's the thing. Like usually there's some type of elevated emotional response. Like you're, you know, level 10 angry or level 10 upset, or you've lost your peace, right? If you go through the map of consciousness, it's all of those lower levels, those survival emotions, anger, shame, guilt. I don't have it in front of me, but there's a whole list of like these lower level frequency emotions that arise. And those emotions are driven many times by unresolved trauma and the triggers that we have. So why am I sharing all of this? I'm sharing this because that first part of the word in January was don't quit, be unstoppable. And so as we come into April, I just wanted to highlight that part of this because in March, okay, I talked about this quantum leap in consciousness. I said that we are in the middle of a massive supernatural elevation of human consciousness. And I didn't bring the map of consciousness that I usually refer to when I'm talking about this. I did talk about four levels of consciousness in March, which is kind of like an abbreviated version of this overall map of consciousness that was popularized by David Hawkins. If you're not familiar with that map, there's a book you can read about it that's called Power and Force. It is not a Christian book. If you are triggered by reading non-Christian things, then it's probably not your cup of tea. But if you are at the place in your journey where you are able to, you know, spit out the bones and eat the chicken and you can learn from a variety of sources and it doesn't have to necessarily say Jesus on it for you to know that there is truth in it, that truth is truth wherever you find it, well, then you may find that work life transforming in the same way that I have over many years now and in the work that we do. But my point is that we are in a massive up level of human consciousness. We are going to be coming into a place on the planet for, I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know what all is going to go down in the world. I don't, you know, I'm not up here trying to, you know, predict the future like that from a prophetic standpoint. I'm just trying to give context to the move of the present move of God. And so this map of consciousness, I've even talked about this in my podcast, where every single level of consciousness, depending on where you're living, has a different lens, has a different paradigm of living, has a different view of God, has a different view of the world. And, you know, for example, if you primarily live in anger and that's your level of consciousness, that's your predominant emotion, that's like the emotional home that you live in, well, guess what? You're always going to find something to be angry about, right? If you see a homeless person on the street, it's going to make you angry. Where if someone is living at a higher level of consciousness, they won't maybe not get angry about that homeless person. They may actually feel hopeless, you know, or they may feel, they may see themselves in that homeless person. And I've gone through that in previous podcasts. So I'm not going to, you know, dive into that, but I am using it for context because on one sense, right, we have this world that is actually very triggering. And we're living in a society that is very, very triggered. I mean, I want to say global trauma is very much a present reality. I mean, you can look at the suicide rates. You can look at just the societal problems that we have and just see that I'm not saying this is everyone, but I'm saying trauma is expressing itself very loudly, very loudly. And theology, our view of the world, our view of the things that we walk through. I mean, it's very obvious when you really start to look at it and you really start to awaken to what I'm just sharing right now, is you can begin to see the different levels of consciousness that are coming out of people that are speaking. You can see it in the people behind, in our pulpits, on the podcast. You can see it in people in social media. Like, you can actually begin to have a paradigm of paradigms and start to see the paradigms which people are living in. So when I talk about there's a quantum leap happening in consciousness, what I'm saying is that God is supernaturally elevating us out of these triggered states. He is supernaturally healing trauma. He is supernaturally bringing us into an elevated perception of himself and of ourselves and of the planet and of the human race and of creation. Why? Because the way God sees things is he doesn't see anything separated from himself. He sees all things in him. God is in all. God is in all in all. Jesus Christ has reconciled the cosmos to himself, and separation is a complete illusion. And so we're in this massive upgrade. And so when I in January said, don't quit, be unstoppable, all right, I feel like the part of that word was an encouragement to us, and we may not even understood it back in January, but I believe it's going to become more relevant as we go through 2024, that we don't want to stop in what I'm calling the messy middle. Okay, I want you to be trusting of God in the process of transfiguration that you find yourself in right now. And I can tell you that letting go of the old, shedding the old programming, walking into the truth, and having the light shine on the lies that we have believed and the ways that we have been operating independent from God and the ways that we aren't trusting God. Okay, I mean, consciously we trust God, consciously we love God, consciously we are surrendered, consciously we worship Jesus. I mean, consciously we believe the gospel, hopefully, you know, if you actually have heard it. Like, consciously we can agree with these things, but there is something internally that is not in alignment. There's something that's incongruent. You know, the Apostle Paul kind of describes this in Romans 7, like, I do what I hate and I don't know why I do what I do. Right? And there's a lot of religious explanations for that, right? I mean, most typical evangelical, Western evangelical people are going to say, well, that's just the sin principle at work in us. That's our sin nature. There's inner war, because we have two natures. We've got a sin nature and then we've got God. And it's like, you know, we got good and evil going on, this battle inside constantly. And that's not the gospel. There's no good news in that, right? No, sin has been extracted out of our nature. There is not a sinful you that exists in reality anymore, right? In God's reality, you are innocent. In God's reality, you are holy and blameless. In fact, you've been that way since before the foundation of the world when the Lamb was slain. But the truth is, in our minds, guess what? We haven't been born into a world that's believing the gospel, right? And so there's this inner turmoil. There's this aspect of our minds. And Gregory Boyd calls it the splinter in the mind, right? It's the pattern of this world. It's the fallen mindset is what, you know, Francis Dutoit would call it. You know, in other circles, it might be called the ego. Internal family systems, which is another model of the human mind, you know, it would just be called all the different parts of ourselves that have yet to be integrated with Christ. So depending on where you're coming at from all of this, I wanted to highlight coming into April this word of not quitting and being unstoppable. And I wanted to highlight it in the sense that we are waking up to the matrix. We are waking up to the pattern of this world. We are waking up to the paradigm of paradigms. We are waking up to this place of division internally. Okay, where where consciously we love God, we trust God, we believe in God, but unconsciously, subconsciously, there is a conflict. And God is healing this, everyone. Like I just need to say that God is healing this. And the ways that he's healing this are as varied as the human experience, right? Because the Holy Spirit knows how to renew the human mind. You know, I often bring into my teachings the concept of a rubber band ball, right? And I talk about how when the Holy Spirit first got a hold of me, you know, he said that I had more problems than a math book and I couldn't solve them all at once. And really what he was saying is I have all of these incorrect belief systems. I have a way of seeing the world and seeing myself and seeing him that is not accurate. And he said, you know, each one of these rubber bands represented a lie that I had believed that had really put me in bondage. And you know what? That little me that was in here was not getting out of this on our own. Like it was going to take a work of the Holy Spirit to unravel me from the false version of me. It was going to take a work of the Holy Spirit to unravel me to the reality that I'm entangled with Christ, that there is a real me that is totally perfect and beautiful and lovely and whole in Christ, right? But we have this dichotomy. We have this reality that of who we are in Christ, right? And then we have this unrenewed mind. We have this self-image and these belief systems that we've been programmed with. So the first thing I wanted to highlight in April was this first part of this word in January, that you guys don't lose heart. Don't lose heart in the middle of triggers. Don't lose heart in this transfiguration that you are in the process of. Don't lose heart in this quantum leap of consciousness that God is orchestrating in your life. Do not lose heart. God is unstoppable. He is unstoppable. He is relentless in his pursuit of conforming you to the image of Jesus. Yes, it's a completed work in the Spirit. Yes, God has already reconciled all things to ourselves, but now it's time for us to reconcile ourselves to ourselves. It's time to believe the gospel, to repent. And this repentance that I'm talking about is not a work of the flesh. This is not a independent thing that we are doing on our own, trying to unscramble our own brain and trying to actually heal ourselves of things that we unconsciously didn't even know we need to be healed from. So the scripture that I have for April, but you know, the first part of that month is that word of the year was, you know, don't quit, be unstoppable. So I just want to encourage you that God is faithful. He will finish the good work that he's begun in you, that God is a deliverer. Jesus is a savior. And although the gospel is the declaration of our emancipation from the kingdom of darkness, just like it took, you know, human slavery many decades. I mean, heck, we're still recovering from the effects of slavery, right? And the oppression of people of color. Well, guess what? It wasn't an immediate transformation. Culturally, it took some time. And I just want to say that God, although we live outside of time and it's complete in the Spirit, like there is a working out in time of the freedom and wholeness that belongs to us in Christ. And I get it. I know there are people out there that say you are already inner healed. And I agree, you are already inner healed. But to say that you are not in a process of mind renewal and awakening up to the revelation of your union with God, I feel like sets people up for a lot of frustration, right? Sanctification is not a process from God's perspective, but it is a process of growth and maturation in the understanding of what the gospel is. It is a revelatory journey with God to recognize we've already arrived. And that is just reality. That's just reality. And I know that this is reality because I, since the very beginning of my ministry, for whatever reason, I have sat with cases that unless there's a miracle from God, there is no hope. Okay. So I don't need a Christianity that is a a theology, just a theology. No, I need it to actually be practical, and I need it to actually transform my heart. I need it to transform how I see. I need it to actually do a work in me so that I can experience God. I can experience freedom. I can experience the truth. And the truth is a person. The truth is a reality that transcends human experience, but is meant to be experienced. So I'm sharing all that to say, don't stop, okay? Don't quit, be unstoppable, meaning hold fast to your confession of faith, stand in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of you don't get it, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of whatever situation you find yourself in. I'm saying with everything in you, you trust consciously, even if there's subconscious parts of you that don't trust. Okay. Now, the second part of that word was, you know, learn to dominate and manipulate the matrix. Well, we need to wake up to the fact that there is a matrix. We need to wake up to the fact that the seen realm is not all that there is. We need to recognize that the pattern of the world is actually a system, that there is a system of the world, and we've been trained in it. And a great book that kind of explains this process is a book by Gregory Boyd called Escaping the Matrix, which is kind of a cool name for that book in the sense that it brings in the movie The Matrix. It kind of goes with my Neo theme. And gosh, I've known about this book for a very long time. But it's a good book. It's a good book on mind renewal. It's a good book that explains why Christians struggle, the difference between subconscious and conscious beliefs and all of that good stuff. So a great little resource for you. Now, coming into April, I want to talk about this process of repentance. I want to talk about this work that God is doing in us. And I want to give you a scripture that I feel like God that highlights this. And it's in Romans 2, verse 4. And the word for April, by the way, is don't underestimate God. Okay, that's the word for April. Do not underestimate God. And I can't tell you how many times lately God has been just speaking that to me. Don't underestimate me. Don't underestimate me, okay? And this verse goes right along with that phrase, don't underestimate God. Okay, it says in verse 4, Romans 2, 4, I'm reading in the Mirror translation, and here's what it says. It says, do not underestimate God's kindness. The wealth of his benevolence and his resolute refusal to let go of us. It's because he continues to hear the echo of his likeness in us. Thus, his patient passion is to shepherd everyone into a radical mind shift. Okay, this scripture to me is pure gold. I'm so grateful for Francois Dutoit. I had him on the podcast. If you guys haven't heard that episode, you should go listen to it. He and Lydia just ooze. I don't even know what it all is. It's glory, it's kindness, it's truth, it's love, it's peace. Just being in his presence is like, there's like something healing on him. I'll say the same thing about Paul Young, which I really am gonna have him on the podcast sometime. We've communicated about it and I just have not nailed that down with him. But he's another one that I feel like if you've seen the Shack, you know that there is just something so powerful about that book. There's something so powerful about that movie. I mean, the whole thing is an inner healing experience. It's an encounter with God of inner healing. And it's so powerful. And I've heard Paul speak in person. And I'll tell you, just being in that presence was just, I was undone. There was such a grace for healing our hearts and our minds. And it's so, so, so powerful. But anyway, I'm going to go back to this scripture and I'm going to read it again, because it's about not underestimating God. And I went back and forth. Should I say don't underestimate God's kindness? I might just revise it and say that. Why? Because it's the kindness of God that causes repentance. Okay? God's kindness leads us into a revelation of God's reality. Okay, the kindness of God is the key here. God's kind. You know, I was in Destin, Florida. I've got my little Destin, Florida sweatshirt on last week with my family at the beach, which is such my happy place. I mean, it was just so beautiful. And the little Airbnb that we were staying in had some scriptures when we walked in the door. And I just thought, oh, thank you, Jesus, for just orchestrating that for me. And there was a sign in the living room that I just can't get out of my mind. And it just said, kindness changes everything. And I went back and forth about, well, should that be the word for April? Kindness changes everything. But, you know, the reason I didn't say that for April was because my first revelation of that sign was like kindness, almost like an admonition for us to be kind. Because when we're kind, you know, it changes people's hearts. And I totally believe that. You know, a gentle word turns away wrath. Like, I believe kindness is a attribute of the Holy Spirit, an attribute in our lives. Like, just kindness is very, very powerful. So that's not that's a very powerful thing to think about. Kindness changes everything. That's great. But when you really put in the content that God's kindness is what changes everything, then it first of all, it relieves us of the effort, the self-effort of trying to self-transfigure, okay? It takes us out of that place where we are responsible for being good, where we are responsible for fixing ourselves or any of those things. Like, this responsibility goes back to the rubber band ball. Like, we got to do something to be something. And the reality of it is that this is God's doing from start to finish. This was God's plan. This was his idea. This was his covenant with himself. This was his choice. This was his election. This was his work to take on human flesh, to participate in the brokenness of humanity and to undo the decision that Adam made. And it was not, he did not require our permission to actually change the world. He didn't require our permit. I mean, he required our participation in the sense that, you know what? Thank God for Abraham's yes. Thank God for the bloodline that produced a Messiah and that gave, you know, Mary the opportunity to house God and birth God into human form. So, you know, I'm not saying that humans haven't played a role in this, but God has orchestrated this, and God is bigger and more majestic and more capable than I think a lot of times that we give him credit. Why? Because we have fallen mindsets about him. And so let me read this again, because it speaks to this quantum leap in human consciousness that we are a part of right now. This convergence of science and theology and just all of the, I mean, my goodness, technology, like all of the things that are happening in this generation. And here's what it says. It says, do not underestimate God's kindness, the wealth of his benevolence. Okay, I'm just going to give you, I'm just going to look it up really quick so that we get the fullness of it. But let's look at the word benevolence. Okay, the word benevolent is having a desire to do good, kindly, charitable. It says, what is a benevolent person? Intending or showing goodwill, friendly, a benevolent smile, doing good or giving aid to others. Characterized or by expressing goodwill or kindly feelings, a benevolent attitude, desiring to help others, the disposition to do good, an act of kindness, a generous gift. It says, and this is interesting, benevolence is a compulsory contribution or tax levied by certain English kings with no other authority than a claim of prerogative. Well, anyway, benevolence comes from the Latin root meaning wish. All right. So back to the scripture, do the wealth of his benevolence, of his desire to do good, the wealth of this, and it says, and his resolute refusal to let go of us is because he continues to hear the echo of his likeness in us. See, God, even though we might be confused, praise God for God, God is not confused. God is not confused about who we are. God is not confused about what we're called to do. God is not confused of what he's capable of. God is not confused about anything. We are known explicitly. We are known completely. God is everywhere at all times, has access to the human heart, every human heart, every human thought. Nothing is hidden from his sight. He is omnipresent and he is omnipotent. He is all powerful. Jesus said, all power and all authority have been given unto me, right? Matthew 28, all power, all authority have been given unto me. So there's no other power. There's no other authority that exists outside of Jesus Christ. He has been given the name above every name, and he is seated in the place of all authority, all honor, all power, all glory, and has elevated us already to that position in Christ. And that echo of his likeness, God is absolutely not tone deaf to that echo of who we actually are. And I love the way that Francois translates this verse. And he says, he continues to hear the echo of his likeness in us. And he says, thus his patient passion is to shepherd everyone into a radical mind shift. So God is patiently and passionately shepherding us into a radical mind shift. And that's exactly what I was talking about in March, and the fact that this was a leap year, that there were quantum leaps in mind shifts, quantum leaps happening in human consciousness. And that process, just so you know, is the process of removing and unlearning everything that obscures Christ within us. And so if you want me to prophesy about the eclipse next week and about the significance of the eclipse, okay, this isn't about doomsday. This isn't about cities of Nivea and da-da-da-da-da. just garbage, okay? Here's the truth that I want you to grab. And here's the, I really believe, the essence of some of the things that we'll be doing with the contemplation retreat that's coming up this week for me and John Crowder, is that who we really are and who God is like the sun. And the sun is always shining. The light is never off. Okay. The sun is always shining. But here's the deal. You know, like when you take off in an airplane, if it's a cloudy day, like it's cloudy here in Chicago today, it's been raining. Like, you know what? Where's the sun? I can't see it if I look out the window. But if I get in that airplane and I go high enough, guess what? I will elevate above the cloud coverage because the sun is still shining even though it's cloudy, all right? And I feel like, for me, the significance of this eclipse right now in this time is just simply a sign in the heavens of that everything that has eclipsed the reality of our oneness with God is being removed, and that it's just an eclipse. Like, it's just an eclipse. It's just a momentary hiding of who you really are. And so I just feel like it's this beautiful picture of that the darkness comes and it's removed, and that there is this unveiling of the sun, and that you can't veil the sun. You can't veil, and I say S-U-N, but also S-O-N, right? And we are shedding the old. We are unlearning the old. That is truly about what deconstruction is. We are removing and destroying the works of the devil. We are destroying the things that have obscured who we truly are. And so when I say don't underestimate the kindness of God, I guess what I'm saying is this is a time when God is coming to the parts of us that, you know, you talk about the orphan spirit, right? We always call it a spirit, but it's really an orphan mindset. And it's this independent mindset, but it's also this, it's independent in its attempt to survive. Okay, it is this drive internally that uses certainty and control as a means of security. And many of us over the course of our lives, because of the things that we experience in our lives, it's called the process of individuation. I mean, it's the process of developing an individual identity that every human being goes through. Well, guess what? We have learned ways, we've learned orphan ways. We have learned ways of being independent. We have learned ways of toiling. We have learned ways of self-survival. We have learned ways to take care of ourselves, right? We've learned to depend on our intellect. If I can just figure this out, then I'll be safe. If I just can control the situation, then I'll be safe. If everything is just laid out and I've got a plan, and you know, so it's varying degrees of control, varying degrees of ways that we survive. And what I'm saying is that in the kindness of God is relentless in the pursuit of healing these orphan mindsets. In other words, healing the illusion of separation that is subconsciously been implanted to us because of the fact that we have grown up in a world system. We've grown up in the matrix. We've grown up in the illusion of a reality that is not reality. And God is relentlessly pursuing us in this radical mind shift, in this elevation of human consciousness. And this is a work of Holy Spirit. Now, the beautiful thing about contemplation and really some of the things that I'm not just, by the way, doing this contemplative retreat with John Crowder for 3 days here in Chicago that if you can't come to, you're just going to miss out. I mean, I'm actually centering in on the contemplation and this inner transformation that happens in contemplation, which I'll just say this, contemplation is a way of shedding. It's a way of shedding these orphan mindsets. It's a way of shedding the inner chatter and the voices of those orphan, I don't know what to call them, just parts or programs inside of us that are controlling us, even though we don't want them to control us, right? And that's really what contemplation is. It's an ancient practice, really, of undoing. It's an ancient practice of unraveling the human psyche, I guess is the best way to say that. And Elevate this month, we're actually, the theme for Elevate this month is entitled Now is Where God Is. And I just piggybacked off, some of the things that I'll be talking about in the contemplative retreat and brought it into Elevate this month. So again, if you're not a part of Elevate, I really encourage you, it's an affordable way to get coaching. It's an affordable way to get some training and the whole goal of that program is to elevate your Christ consciousness and aid you in the process of transfiguration. And so, this month I really am diving into this practicing the presence of God and other contemplative practices that help us learn in silence, help us sit in the presence of God and allow the Holy Spirit to remove the veil and give us a process of surrender. It's a practice of surrendering the old, surrendering thought, surrendering judgment, surrendering self. It is a beautiful surrender with the goal, honestly, of just being with God. Like the only goal in contemplation is God. It's this almost this way of shedding. And a way of unknowing, like there's a kind of a deep book, if you've never read The Cloud of Unknowing, which was written by an anonymous author many years ago, centuries ago, which is kind of like the handbook for contemplation for people that are into that kind of thing, along with the Desert Fathers and Church Fathers and, so many people throughout history, saints and mystics throughout history. But it's this idea of, how many of you have heard of saying that, we're not in a process of becoming something, that we're unbecoming everything that isn't truly us? Well, contemplation is a method. It's a way to actually be with God and experience divine union. And of course, we're always in union with God. Like union is not something we stair step ladder into. It's something that we become aware of. And thank God for, Reformation and finished works, theology, that now we aren't, like St. Teresa of Avila, climbing up to divine union. It's not about navigating, she called it the interior castle, but, John Crowder's book, The New Mystics, will give you such a great introduction to that. John Crowder's book, The Ecstasy of Loving God, is such a masterpiece on frankly, contemplation. There's chapters in the middle of that book that talk about trances and talk about ecstatic experiences and the bliss of God and the drunkenness of God and the ecstasy of loving God, that there is a place in the presence of God in the now that we can escape. Like, we can escape the triggers, we can escape this inner turmoil in our mind, and we can enter into a place of bliss and a place of peace and a place of transcending this inner turmoil and this inner world and this programming that is occupying, and I mean, 60,000 thoughts a day, you know, constantly ruminating in our hearts and in our minds. And so, you know, I'm sharing that because I also sense that God, in being God and shepherding us into this radical mind shift, is using everything at our disposal, right? Like, I mean, I have personally been in this process since I surrendered to God back in my early 30s, and God led me to the first woman that had this incredible intimacy with God and had something that I needed. I received an impartation from her. It was the first time I started to actually experience what many call inner healing or, you know, supernatural mind renewal. But the point is that I had tons of trauma. Like, I am a trauma survivor. Okay. Like, I am not ashamed to say that. I think that we're entering into a time where transparency and leadership is actually, like the highest value that we can esteem for in our leaders. Like, gone is the day that, you know, I mean, that's, what is religion? It's a mask. It's this mask and this pretense. It's a hypocritical pretense that acts like there's some of us that have it together and others don't. You know, I mean, what are we seeing and the fall and the all the things that are happening in Christian ministries right now? It's we are in need of healing, people. We are in need of it, and it is okay. Like, it is okay. It is okay to need mind renewal. It is okay. Why is it okay? Well, because it is just what it is. It just is what it is. And we all have been through things in our lives that have been painful. And you know what? The gospel is amazing. Like, you know, meditating on the gospel, knowing the gospel, hearing the gospel, being reminded of who we are every single day is not optional. Because the truth is, none of that trauma defines us. Our unrenewed minds don't define us. Our feelings don't define us. Our state of mind doesn't define us. Our bank accounts, our marital status, our college degree status, like, none of these things define us. God is the definition of us. And I'm saying all of this, that God is using contemplation. God is using whatever God needs to use. He's shepherding us from the place of consciousness that we currently are in into the place where we are experiencing as me consciousness. We are experiencing oneness consciousness. The illusion of separation is being healed from the planet. So I guess what I want to say, when I'm saying don't underestimate God and don't underestimate kindness, the kindness of God, is first of all, let's not underestimate God in our own lives. Let's not underestimate God in our circumstances. Let's not underestimate God's grace and ability to miraculously deliver us from whatever it is, whatever situation we find ourselves in. Like, let's just not underestimate the power and the omniscience and the omnipresence of God. Let's just not underestimate God, okay? But let's also not underestimate God and his kindness for the world. Let's also not underestimate God and his kindness towards the people that are being exposed right now. Let's not underestimate the kindness of God towards the mess that's being made in the process of healing everything that hinders love. You know, sometimes, man, anyone that wants to judge someone else, and I'm not saying that there should not be, you know, consequences, and that, you know, that, my goodness, you know, we do not need narcissistic leaders. We do not need people that haven't, you know, been through the process of healing, blind people leading the blind. I Jesus had a lot to say to religious leaders who were keeping others out, you know, And the way that he treated the least of these, I mean, the least of these are God is defending. God is always defending the least of these. God is always on the side of the oppressed. And so we can't underestimate God's kindness. And it is not time for us to be judging and playing the moral police over other people's brokenness, like there's no big fat log in our own eye. It is not the time to underestimate God's kindness and his ability to lead people into repentance. It's time to pray for people that obviously our own, you know, whatever we might consider our own enemies, right? It's time to pray for those who persecute us. It's time to love and turn the other cheek. This is the way of God, to bless our enemies. Like, the way of God is to lay down his life for the very people that crucified him. God's love is unfathomable. His ability, his patience, his long suffering towards sinners. Whoa, all those sinner people, you know? I mean, like, really, guys? Like, we have missed the mark. And it's just projection. It is projection of our own guilt, and it is a projection of a way to make ourselves feel righteous. In a sense that if I'm not as bad as you, then that means I'm okay. And the truth is, those without sin can throw the first stone, and only Jesus can, and he doesn't. So, you know, Richard Rohr calls this the third way. It's such a beautiful description of Jesus. And it's why we can never nail him down. You know, it's like, well, whose side is he on? Neither. Neither. Is God right or left? Neither. His kingdom is not of this world. His ways are so, if the enemy would have known, it wouldn't have crucified Jesus. Like, it is the brilliance of God, the ability of God to unravel the world system. Wow. And that place of awe and trust and losing control is where freedom is found. And so I guess this month, you know, I guess I'm saying don't underestimate God in your situation and your circumstances. And oh, beloved, do not underestimate God's ability to expand his government and to manifest the new creation and to co-create and govern through his body and get his body into a place where she's whole and she is an accurate reflection of him. And it is a beautiful thing, although it is sometimes a tumultuous thing. And so in one sense, I'm saying don't give up, don't stop. But in another sense, I'm saying trust God, and trust God to heal every part of you that doesn't trust God. That's a Selah, right? And I guess I just will wrap by saying, gosh, what will I say, Lord? God is really good. Like, God is really, really, really good. And the parts of us that know that, but have trouble receiving it for ourselves, you know, like whether that's God is a healer, but I'm not being healed, or God is a provider, but I'm dealing with lack, or God has forgiven me, but I'm having trouble forgiving myself. Whatever those are, whatever those places are in our hearts and in our lives, I'm telling you, the scripture from Romans is what's going on. Okay, God is in relentless pursuit and of everyone. And he knows how to shepherd everyone into a radical mind shift. So, beloved, I believe it is an incredible time of radical shifts. Radical shifts, which lead to radical shifts in our realities, radical shifts in our perceptions, radical shifts in our emotional states, radical shifts in our peace level, but it also shifts to radical, I mean, it also means radical shifts in eternal things, I mean, in external things, right? So there are programs right now that we have been suffering under our entire life. Okay, let me just take the poverty program for a moment, right? The distrust of God and the just all of the crazy things that we believe about money, right? And the ways that we struggle with that. Okay, that's just an example. But as God does a radical shift of your relationship with money, guess what's going to happen externally? There's going to be a radical shift of your relationship with money. Beloved, I pray that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And God is orchestrating, oh my gosh, the tornado of alarm is about to go off. It may be really loud on here for a moment, so I better wrap. It comes off, comes on right at 10 on the second, first Tuesday of the month. So I'll wrap. But you're, you know, I just want you to recognize that this is going to be that there's fruit, that inner transformation leads to fruit. So don't run from the process, run towards the process. And as always, I encourage you guys to, you know, do breakthrough calls with us and let us walk you through the ways that we are helping people go through these internal transformations and these radical transfigurations, step into elevate. The investment in your transfiguration, to me, there's no better investment. There's no better investment than the revealing of Christ in you. And beloved, I have been on this journey for a very long time at this point, and the things that we're seeing happen in people's lives are radical. So that's all I got for today. Do not underestimate God. Do not underestimate the kindness of God, and trust and surrender, and believe, you know, I mean, there are days that I'm consciously speaking the truth when everything inside of me is screaming. And I say, just like David, soul, you will magnify the Lord, right? I relate to David some days. I'll get in the Psalms and I'll just be like, okay, soul, magnify the Lord, and talk to my brain and talk to my body. And I do those things. But God is taking us beyond that. He's taking us into shepherding our soul. He's taking us, he's restoring our soul. He's healing our soul. And yes, it's already finished. It's all done from God's perspective, and we're just coming into agreement with it, beloved. We're awakening to the beauty of what God has already accomplished. And it can be messy, and that's okay. God can handle us. God can handle our mess. And he's got more kindness than we've got bitterness. He's got more kindness than we've got unbelief. He's got more kindness and more repentance. We can't outdo the grace of God. In fact, it's made perfect in our weakness. So we can glory in our weaknesses. We can glory in those places where we need the grace of God, and it's okay. It's okay to throw yourself and just be, okay, Jesus, here I am. Do what only you can do. So I love you. God bless you. It's going to be a beautiful April. Don't be afraid of the eclipse. Look at it as this beautiful prophetic sign that everything that eclipses your union with Jesus is just merely a passing moment, and that the sun is always shining inside, and the sun is always shining even in the midst of an eclipse. So I love you. Have a great, great week, and make it a really beautiful April. All right. Love you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.